following is a presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.
It's a Motor City Monday on the Huge Show across Michigan, presented by your Detroit Tigers. Make sure you text Tigers to 21,000 for your chance to win a pair of tickets each and every week through the end of May. Just text Tigers to 21,000 one time and you'll be in the weekly drawings through May. And also, if you want to save 15% on select game tickets in April and May, go to tigers.com/huge show. That's tigers.com/huge show. It is a Motor City Monday, presented by the Detroit Tigers on the Michigan Sports Network.
Are you ready for huge opinions on the Lions, Tigers, Wings, Pistons, Michigan, MSU, and every sports team in the state of Michigan? It's time for The Huge Show. From the east side to the west side to the UP, The Huge Show is on air statewide on the Michigan Sports Network. Voice your huge opinions now at 1-866-838-HUGE. That's 1-866-838-4843. Now, the huge one, Bill Simonson.
What's up, Michigan? It is a Motor City Monday with Superfly Hayes as our executive producer. Crazy weekend with the Tigers comeback on Sunday. John Vanderwall, our Major League insider, a former big leaguer. He'll join us later in this hour. We'll also talk about the Masters. It was exciting through 36 holes. Tigers made the cut. Is he going to do something? Not win it, but maybe, you know, get on the leaderboard instead. Scheffler, at least in the final nine holes, just made it his tournament. Second green jacket. Bill Hobson from Michigan Golf Live is set to join us. Radio version airs later this month through the golf season. Check your local listings. TV version on Bally Sports Detroit. And, you know, the finish at Augusta has been historic at times, but on Sunday, Bill, it was blasé.
Well, it was shaping up to be a great finish. You know, the old saying is that the Masters doesn't really begin until the final nine on Sunday. And when the leaders all got through nine and had made the turn, there were, I think, two players tied for the lead and three others that were one shot back. And I was texting with my son, and I said, you just wait. This is going to be electric. There's going to be a playoff unless somebody gets crazy and runs away with it. And then one player after another, splash in the water on 11, splash in the water on 11. Max Homa gets a big, hard bounce on 12 and ends up in a bush back behind the green and ends up taking a double. And Ludvig Åberg, who is the newly minted next great player, was in it. He was in it until he dumped that ball in the water on 11. So eight-man corner did its thing again. It separated the champion from the rest of the players because Scheffler made it through there. He did make a bogey after a little bit of a sloppy putting on 11, but comes to 12. It's a beautiful shot. Goes to 13, makes birdie. And then on 14, hits it to like an inch. And at that point, you're like, oh, okay, well, it's over then, unless somebody goes crazy. And, you know, the number one player in the world never wavered. He didn't play perfect golf for all 4 days, but in crunch time, he separated from the pack enough that, like you said, it ended up being fairly anticlimactic. But I love seeing greatness, and Scottie Scheffler is great.
Yeah, he's great. There's not a lot of personality that drips through the television, but in terms of the game of golf, he was near perfect, considering the conditions and the wind over the 4 days, with bookends 66 and 68, cruise control in between with a 72 and 71, and again, pushed somewhat towards the end of the front nine on Sunday, but then you saw why he is the best in the world right now, and he pulled away. And you know, Bill, I know we talked last week about this, and I brought it up a couple of times. You know, I love the game of golf. I love playing it. I love watching it. But, man, and it's Augusta, and I was locked in until, you know, once he went up, you know, four or three with four to play, I'm like, he's not going to lose this thing. And, you know, I had to run into the store. But to me, the game still – These young stars coming, I have great swings, but not great personalities. And personality in a great game sells more than ever. Ask John Daly. He's still selling gear at any tournament or pro-am he's playing in. I hope there's some kids on the horizon who will bring that personality with a great game to draw me to the TV.
Well, there are, but remember also that this generation of golfers has been raised not only out of a golf swing factory where many of the swings are really similar, except for Scheffler's with his foot movement, but they've also been raised with mental coaches, with psychologists, and all of those experts who are getting their ear and telling them never get too high or too low. Well, I think one of the reasons that we really came to appreciate, you know, Phil over the years, or JD over the years, Tiger over the years with the epic fist pumps and things like that, is because they let their emotions show. Tiger has had a unique ability to show his emotions, but then gather himself again. And the great champions can do that. I just don't know if this generation has been raised in the game to let their emotions flow like that. You know, Scotty really kind of let it out after he finished on 18, and after he finished with his hug with his caddy, Ted Scott, then he let out a little bit of a hoop. But for the most part, his demeanor is the way that he plays, which is pretty darn consistent and waiting for others around him to collapse, and that's exactly what happened. So I know what you mean, though. The needle movers, we may have seen the last needle mover, and actually I've heard him described as the needle, in Tiger Woods. I don't know that there's another guy that's going to have you running to your TV to watch him play, at least in the current roster of players.
Yeah, speaking of the needle, was scratching, not his records, but his game, that 82 on Saturday. Maybe a letdown after, you know, making the cut. I don't know. Went out and celebrated making the cut and shot an 82. Finished with a 77. And the 60 guys that made it to the weekend, Tiger finished dead last there. So, yeah, you had a goal to get through the 36. You had that long day on Friday, and it caught up to him on Saturday.
You know, he said after that, after he made the cut, and he made it pretty comfortably. He made it by 5 shots. He said, he was asked afterwards, how do you feel? He said, I feel like I'm right in this tournament. Well, then he comes out for the third round, and he was even through 6 holes on the day. So, I mean, right there in it was an accurate assessment. And then I don't know if the gas tank just hit empty. I don't know if his back started to betray him. But then it got pretty ugly. It got pretty sloppy. And like you said, it just all fell apart from there. Which is interesting because he's not the only player in this tournament who saw it all fall apart, but he's the one that we've been watching most carefully. I mean, I think that Justin Thomas, who was well inside the cut line on Friday and then finished his last 4 holes at like 7 over, He just literally forgot how to play golf after doing a pretty good job of managing through the difficult conditions. So, I was kind of tipping my hat to Tiger for finishing. I did not think he would finish. I thought that by the time he got through Saturday, I thought we were going to get the announcement of a withdrawal due to injury or something like that. And instead, he did go out. He played it. He played along with the amateur Shipley, and I was watching on the featured channel before TV coverage came on, and it was kind of fun to watch. 2 different generations. I mean, this kid, you talk about a dream come true. 23-year-old amateur gets to play the Masters with Tiger. And it looked like they were talking quite a bit. And I saw, you know, you saw Tiger sort of demonstrating different things, putting time into a kid that I don't know that he would have done that 15 years ago. So, you know what? More power to him. Every single time he can make the cut, I hope he keeps playing. I think I told you last week that if Tiger was any sort of a factor on Sunday, that I'd buy you dinner. There wasn't much of a chance that that was going to be the case. Well, because I never buy dinner, but also because I didn't think his fuel tank had enough in it to get him through 72 holes. But he's not done that in forever.
Yeah, by the way, Tiger doesn't stand alone on the 60 that made it to the weekend. Tony Finau finished with an 80. Today, at Augusta with the 72 yesterday, a 78 kind of up and down there. Some of these names that just got hammered by the course, 76 for John Rahm today at 276s. Danny Willett, who had a 68 to open the tournament, finished with a 78 today. So the big crooked numbers are there for a lot of golfers. And I think the win was maybe consistently the most win I've seen over 4 days at Augusta.
Yeah, it definitely had its teeth out. I enjoyed it. I do think that the lengthening of the golf course took away a little bit of the drama, the potential for drama on Sunday, because there were players that were still having to lay up on the par fives, and we're kind of used to seeing, you know, going for it and having a shot at eagle. We just didn't see quite as much of that. However, we still did have some really interesting developments. Like we saw Bryson DeChambeau for two strong days, and then we watched him try to hang on by his fingernails to whatever weird science approach he has to the game, and it didn't work. So he faded away. We got to see the emergence of a Ludvig Åberg, and really impressed that kid. His game off the tee is nuts. But one of the things that impresses me the most is when you can see a player who has no chance whatsoever. They've made the cut. Now it's Sunday. They're 15 shots back or whatever. I enjoy seeing how committed they are to every shot into the round, because at Augusta, if you take a shot off mentally, you're probably going to walk away with a double or a triple. And I enjoyed watching, like, you know, John Rahm finish out and Rory finish out, and they didn't go super low, but they were still in it. They were still invested in it with every shot. It would have been real easy to use a name that you brought up earlier. It would have been really easy to go all John Daly and just start slapping the ball around and not care what happens. I think those players have too much respect for Augusta, for the invitation that comes to play in the Masters, and they were grinding. But I was talking with a guy Sunday afternoon who has played there 12 times, and I said, "Just tell me," he's played from the members' tees. He's not a professional. I said, "Just tell me how hard this place is. You know, it's our dream to play it, but I haven't. So how hard is it?" And he said, "You just have no idea." He said, it's never a level lie. The ball is always either above or below your feet. And on the greens," and he knocked on the table where we were sitting, he said, "on the greens, quite often, you have a target to hit the size of this table. And if you don't hit it, your ball is leaving the green." So in many respects, everybody who was in that field probably will need a long nap, might not want to touch a golf club for a couple days, and then will have to kind of recalibrate their games entirely to play from a normal terrain as opposed to the rather challenging Augusta setup. Having said that, Billy, I'd be more than happy to go with you if you have the private jet ready for tomorrow, and we could tee it up down there.
Yeah, me and you are working on press credentials. You're trying to get them again. You had them 1 year. Yeah, it's an amazing place. And again, Tiger didn't stand alone. Other big names who struggled. Cantlay had a 76 on Sunday. Højgaard, who had a 67 and was in the hunt on Thursday, he closes out with 74, 76. It's just an amazing golf course. Rory McIlroy had a 77 mixed around two 71s and a 73. Fitzpatrick had a 75 today. So, like you mentioned, lengthening the course, what they've done, pin placements, it really shows that Scheffler at 11 under, how good he was this weekend in Georgia.
He never flinched. He didn't always have his best iron play until he needed it. And then when he needed it, kicked in, and all of a sudden what was a barn burner of a race became a blowout, and the guy got to walk up the 18th fairway with a four-shot lead. I guarantee you that other players like Max Homa and Åberg and some of the others will go home tonight and sit there and ask themselves, how in the heck did that just happen? Because they were right there, and all of a sudden the door shut. And that's what great champions do. And now here's Scotty, you know, we talk about a dream run, that second green on in the world, and somewhere in the next few days to be a new dad. And so, I mean, just more power to him. He's a blessed man, and I like to see humble guys in that position. I like it when good things happen to good people.
Yeah, it was crazy to sit down, and I always like to watch, make sure if I'm, you know, busy with the kids on Sunday, whatever, to watch that final nine, the last nine holes, and I'm like, wow, we're going to get this. This could be a playoff, like you were saying, Auberg and Homa and Morikawa, and then to watch Morikawa, Homa and Auberg, like all within like 2 minutes of each other, and then you almost could sense Scheffler could feel it, and he just nailed shot after shot, and was like tournament over 2 holes later.
Don't ever underestimate the power of pressure on a player who hasn't been in that position very much. And even though Colin has 2 major championships, it's been a while since he's been in the hunt. He's not played that well. It was pretty surprising to see him in the hunt. And for the other players, that is the ultimate crucible, the ultimate test of your mental game, is in those positions where all of a sudden you're starting to get these glimpses of your legacy, your picture of you in a green jacket, all those things. I mean, really, they're human. They've got to flash forward to what it would be like. And to see it just so quickly go away, got to be fairly jarring. And my guess is that they will be lamenting how it all unfolded if they go back and watch the game film. And by the way, before I forget, something that's really, at least to me, it's a pretty big deal and probably is to you for what you and I do for a living, and that is describe things, tell stories, and broadcast. Because this Masters, as most people saw on Sunday afternoon, is the final for Vern Lundquist. And I love tradition, and I love great storytellers. And that guy has been the voice of the Masters as long as Chip Nance has been. And those iconic moments that we saw him replay, the "in your life, have you seen anything like that?" and the "yes, sir," in '86. We're going to miss that kind of thing. That's not to say that there aren't other good commentators out there, but having Vern up in the 16th tower has become a springtime ritual as much as the Masters has been. So for a couple of old broadcasters like us, I know you tip your hat to him as well, and I'd love to interview him at some point and just hear some stories, because that guy's a legend.
Yeah, because you had the Jack Whitakers into the Vern Lundquist, into Nance, which are kind of like our Vin Scullys of baseball, of Ernie Harwell and the greats and the game of golf. And even though it's television, how less is more, how catchphrases and everything. And it really, because the Masters is the Super Bowl of golf, if we could, you know, make that parallel to America's favorite sport. And I do worry as I listen to some of these young announcers, and I'm looking at somebody who catches my attention, and there aren't a lot of them, because just like we're saying about Scheffler and that generation of cookie cutter swings and golfers who played the junior circuit and then most went to college or overseas and then they come back, and it's just not the same. And we're not the old men saying get off my lawn, but there was these stoic, larger than life broadcasters, and now when I hear Ian Eagle's son doing Big Ten football on Saturday nights and how he got a job just because his dad is good, I shake my head, but it's the world we're in. I still talk about it. So do you when it comes to Michigan Golf Live, the radio version, Saturday mornings throughout the golf season starting at the end of the month, and also Michigan Golf Live on Bally Sports Detroit. And I love the game. I love it more than ever before in this weather we had on a Masters Sunday in Michigan with a temperature in the mid-70s. Tomorrow, another day in the 70s. I bet every golf course in the state that's open now was full.
I hope so. That's what we love about it. And in an era where, for the most part, the professional game has turned off a lot of fans, we know that playing the game is still super popular, and the tee sheets will be packed pretty much everywhere. That's the way we like it. So get out there and enjoy it, folks. And really, you and I need to tee it up here at some point in the near future.
Yeah, we do. We got to find. Let's go up to Arcadia, and then we'll talk to the crew up there. Let's go up there and play. I'll do a radio show. We can go to Tullymore. I can bring you in. You haven't been to Tullymore in a while. You can pop into Tullymore. I'll take you out for 18 there. Yeah, they've done great work. I mean, Tullymore, I know they were highly ranked in Golf Digest, State of Michigan, and publicly nationwide on the public side. So, yeah, there's just so many options. You know it more than I do. This state, when we get this weather like this, we really become the best golf destination in America when it's in the 70s.
Without a doubt.
I'm telling you. They're, you know, it's why if you look at Charlevoix, if you look at up north and even Tullymore, less than an hour north of GR, it's why Memorial Day to Labor Day, the best golf in America is in the state of Michigan. It is.
And the competition is not even close. There are a lot of pretenders around us in the other Great Lakes states, but they're all coming here to play, which is why it's important to get your tee times booked and all that good stuff. But we may not be double green jacket blessed, but we are really blessed to be here in the great state of Michigan enjoying this game for sure.
And to love the game, you don't have to be great at the game. That's what's amazing about golf.
Right. It wouldn't hurt if you played it a little bit more quickly, but you don't have to be great. Just get moving.
Yeah. Don't get the. Where's the clock at Augusta? Was it Hatton was saying that, right? What's going on here? Yeah, it's awesome, Bill. You know what? This kind of signifies the start of the golf season for us here in Michigan. Great insight last week and the start this week when it comes to the Masters. I appreciate it, my man, okay?
All right, Billy. We'll see you down the road.
Thanks. All right, Bill Hobson, Michigan Golf Live, the radio version on most of these huge radio network stations. It starts at the end of the month on Saturday mornings. TV version, check your Bally Sports Detroit listings. And you heard Bill book a tee time. The Tullymore Golf Resort in Canadian Lakes, Michigan, less than an hour north of GR. They offer up 18 at Tullymore, 18 at St. Ives. Some of the best accommodations when it comes to golf in the Midwest. Great food, beverages. Book your tee time. If you're in the Grand Rapids area, it's less than an hour north of GR, or your stay and play package, or your next event, wedding receptions, business get-togethers, a little business and pleasure, and more. Go to TullymoreGolf.com. That's TullymoreGolf.com.
From Grand Rapids to Detroit, this show is huge.
June 23rd, the world's most notorious rock band is coming to Soaring Eagle Casino. Motley Crue. The Crew, part of the Soaring Eagle Summer Outdoor Concert Series. Tickets start at $54 and are on sale now at the box office and online at etix.com. Party hard, then take a ride on the wild side. Motley Crue, Sunday, June 23rd at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort.
Huge here for the Michigan High School Athletic Association. You can stay up to date on the latest from Lansing 24/7 at MHSAA.com, at MHSAA on Twitter, and MHSAA on Facebook. The latest news, press releases, and stories connected to every high school in the state of Michigan available for you 24/7 from the Michigan High School Athletic Association. Log on to MHSAA.com, at MHSAA on Twitter, and MHSAA on Facebook. And if you're looking for archive, boys and girls, high school sports, MHSAA.com. TV. That's MHSAA.TV. 24/7, everything you need to know about high school sports in Michigan. Log on to MHSAA.com.
We're teeing off our 10th year at the Meijer LPGA Classic for Simply Give. Get ready for the best tour yet to help neighbors in need while enjoying golf, food, and family fun. Join us June 13th through the 16th at Blythefield Country Club for fabulous food, Discoveryland for kids, and of course, elite women golfers from around the world competing to help feed our neighbors. Get your tickets now at MeijerLPGAClassic.com.
Huge here for Van Andel Institute Purple Community. Now, they're a grassroots fundraising network powered by the volunteers who support VAI's mission to improve health now and in the future. Learn more at purplecommunity.org.
You're listening to The Huge Show on the Michigan Sports Network.
We are back on The Huge Show across Michigan, and John Vanderwall, the former major leaguer who lives in the West Michigan area, went to Hudsonville, played college ball at Western, illustrious major league career. He joins us to always talk about the Tigers, the Yale Central, and the Major League Baseball storylines. All right, this reminds me of the Pitt game last week where they looked dead in the water. And they rallied to win that. They're down 3-0 late on Sunday against the Twins. And the Tigers find a way to get a 4-3 victory, Johnny. They're not doing it in a pretty fashion, but late in games, including Baez and Torque, guys who have been struggling, came through.
The big thing for Tiger fans is they are above 500. They're finding ways to win. That is the big plus. Are they playing great baseball? No. But they are above 500. They're, what, a game and a half out, and it's the end of April. The last two or three Aprils that the Tigers have been out, what have they been, like nine games under 500 going into April because they played the East. It's American League East, basically. So they're in a good position. You know, the hitting hasn't been there, and we can agree on that, and we can go over swings and we can beat this dead horse here. But the thing is that the hitting cannot stay as bad as it has been. Baez hits a home run today. It was the best swing I've seen out of him in probably, you know, 200-250 at bats. So going dating back to last year. So the pitching is okay. But the hitting isn't going to be this bad, and what, the three games above 500 now. So as a Tiger fan, you got to be encouraged.
Yeah, and over the weekend, Manning and Flaherty gave them quality starts. Bullpen was fantastic on Sunday, and you know they're 9-6. They easily could be, you know, 5-10, but they're 9-6, and you get that start. And there are holes, especially when you look at Parker Meadows, who's hitting .061, and I get you need that, you know, month sample size, but he just mentally and visually, he looks lost right now at the plate.
Deer in the headlight. You're absolutely right. He has deer in the headlight right now. We've talked about it before. You know, it reminds me of similar when I, back in 2019, when I got fired for it, but he was coming under the ball then, and we fixed it, and he wanted to go back to what he was doing before. You know, and last September, I was so impressed with him and how, in the way that he planned to swing out, and he was getting the barrel to the ball. That ain't happening right now, boss. I mean, it is underneath early, right away. He cannot survive this way. You know, you have to give people time, and I get it, but he is so outmatched right now. And we talked about it again a couple months ago, how different spring training is to the real thing. When the bell rings and the season's on in here, and he's not catching up, he's underneath. Something's got to change, and it has to change quickly for him, I believe, for him in order to survive and to stay up in the big leagues.
Well, they got Vierling, who pinch hit for him late in Sunday's game, and it's not do or die with Meadows. They can let him go to AAA and have some time to try and get some confidence again, but I agree with you. He just looks overmatched. The body language says that he's struggling. And, you know, again, Cole Keith, the one thing I'll say about him, at least his swings look good. To see Baez and Torque come through late in that game, the last thing they needed was to, you know, lose the weekend against the Twins or a game out in the AL Central. Right. So we can analyze this all we want to, JV. We can break down everybody's swing. They're a game out of first place. And you're over 2 weeks in on the season.
Absolutely. And those are the positives that you have to take. And we can go, you know, we can look at the swings, and maybe this happens with Baez, is that maybe this home run gets him going, because that was a really, really good swing. It was an off-speed pitch. It was down and in his wheelhouse, and he did something with it. You know, you don't see a lot of the Torque. He's, you know, to me, there's a lot of things going on with him. However, he still he's still above 200. He's hitting, what, 220, 230. He's in that area, and he hasn't gotten hot yet. Guys are going to get hot. They have to get hot. When you're playing every day, you are going to get in a groove, and you should get in a good 10, 12, 14-game groove. He's not in it, but you hope that he gets in it quickly or coming up in the near future here. I think the Tigers in a great situation. For as bad as they've played, and you can say they played bad teams and yeah and whatever, but they've played bad. I mean, their offense, you said it time and again, how bad their offense has been, and it's been bad. It's been brutal, and they're still 9-6. So hats off to them, and let's just as fans, you know, say a little prayer to you-know-who and say, hey, let's kind of get three or four of these guys together and get four or five guys swinging well in that lineup, and the offense is going to change.
Hey, you know we're excited about Baez when he bumps his average to 140 with that homer, and we're on the verge of saying he's going to win the Triple Crown.
Well, here's the thing about averages in baseball, especially under 150 at-bats. Let's go 125. Let's go 125 and below at-bats. Your average can change like that. I mean, you have two or three games in a row where you get 2-3 hits, you can go from a .120 to all of a sudden .220. I mean, just like that. So you have to take these averages with a grain. You're only 2 weeks in. What do you got? Say you have that 50 at bats, maybe 60. I mean, that's a really, really small sample size. And really, honestly, it's a small sample size until you get above 250. When you start getting above 250 at bats, then it starts to get tough to move that needle. Right now, you get a hot week and you can go from 150 to 300. I mean, it's just in that amount of time, 7-8 games. So let's take a deep breath. I know people ripcord Ronnie, and I can be the best of them too at times, but they're three games above 500 right now. Go celebrate and go get a cocktail.
You know, and because they are 9-6, they can give Parker Meadows more time, like you mentioned, under that 150 at-bats to let him work through it. Vierling is hitting .297, one of the better averages on the team, along with Urshela. And again, that's all limited numbers. You play to win. You don't play for individual stats. And like you said, they're a game out of first place. They're now going to hit that middle of April that we talked about before the season began, John. They get the Rangers for four. They've had a ton of off days, so I'm not worried about not having an off day on Monday. Rangers for one night game Monday night, and then three straight day games on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday in Detroit. Then at the Twins for three games, and they don't get an off day, and then they go down to Tampa for three games, and then they come back home, and they'll have a Friday afternoon game the weekend of the draft in Detroit, and then a Saturday night game. So there you go. We'll see what they do. 9-6. You'll take it. I think all eyes are really on Parker Meadows right now, but they do have Vierling, so it's not make or break on what they're doing. Three games over 500. Two of those miracle wins in the last week that I think are really – I'm talking huge. The Pittsburgh win and that, where it kind of fell. You go get, you know, railed by the Twins over the weekend. That could carry into this week, but the Rangers have one of the better hitting lineups in baseball. We'll be watching that. John Vanderwall, former major leaguer, lives in West Michigan, played at Hudsonville, Western, great Major League Baseball career. He knows the game, and he joins us to talk Tigers, AL Central, and the MLB storylines. JV, appreciate your thoughts on the Tigers, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, brother. I'll talk to you later.
All right, John Vanderwall joining us on the Meyer Guest Line here on the Huge Show across Michigan.
Everything huge, 24/7 at thehugeshow.net.
Hey, Michigan, let's go big. I'm Herman Moore, Lions All-Pro wide receiver, and I'm talking real big-time winning on the hottest slots and table games on one incredible app, Eagle Casino and Sports.
Sign up now and get up to $1,500. That's right. We'll match your deposit for up to $1,500, and you'll get 100 free spins.
Eagle Casino and Sports. Made in Michigan. Made for Michigan.
Must be 21 or older and in Michigan to play.
Huge here for my good friends at the Tullymore Golf Resort in Canadian Lakes, Michigan. Now, they're located less than an hour north of GR, so if you're listening in West Michigan, you can make the day drive up less than an hour, play 18 at Tullymore, have lunch, and play 18 at St. Ives. They offer 36 World Championship golf holes, stay-and-play packages, accommodations, food, weddings, receptions, business outings, business events, and more. All waiting for you less than an hour north of Grand Rapids. And they service the entire state, the Midwest, and even coast-to-coast with their national recognition, as Tullymore has been honored as one of the top public courses in America. So book your tee time today. Go to TullymoreGolf.com. Book your stay-and-play package today at TullymoreGolf.com. Tullymore, less than an hour north of GR in Canadian Lakes, Michigan.
We're teeing off our 10th year at the Meijer LPGA Classic for Simply Give. Get ready for the best tour yet to help neighbors in need while enjoying golf, food, and family fun. Join us June 13th through the 16th at Blythefield Country Club for fabulous food, Discoveryland for kids, and of course, elite women golfers from around the world competing to help feed our neighbors. Get your tickets now at MeijerLPGAClassic.com.
Huge here with a special thank you to three of our partners who are helping bring the 313 NFL Draft Party on Thursday, April 25th to life in downtown Detroit. Josh Garvey and the team at Dorn Mayhew, one of the world's top accounting, CPA, and business firms. Josh is a great man, and that company is doing great things. Josh heads up the GR office. Also, Matt Golden, the CEO of the Tullymore Golf Resort in Canadian Lakes, Michigan. They're set to open up both courses at the end of the month, and you can book a stay-and-play package. Or if you want to take care of business and mix in a little pleasure on the golf course, great food, beverages, go to TullymoreGolf.com. That is TullymoreGolf.com. Book your stay-and-play package or schedule your next event less than an hour north of GR. And also to the team at Coppercraft Distillery. They're the home of Honolulu Blue. If you're a Lions fan, you need to be drinking Honolulu Blue. Thanks for your help with the 313 Draft Party.
You're listening to The Huge Show on the Michigan Sports Network.
It is our final segment, hour number one on a Motor City Monday, presented by your Detroit Tigers. Make sure you text Tigers to 21,000, and you'll go into the weekly drawing for Tigers tickets through the end of May. You just have to enter once, and you'll be in the weekly drawing and could get tickets delivered via text from Marty Boer and the Michigan Sports Network. Just text Tigers to 21,000. Also, if you want 15% off select Tigers games through the end of May, just go to tigers.com/huge show. That's tigers.com/huge show. I did want to end this hour with Mark Wilson, PGA rules official, refereed the Masters this past week down in Augusta, was there for the Sunday ceremony. Scheffler getting his second green jacket, and what a week it was. Tiger made the cut. Storylines to begin that final nine, where it looked like we might have a playoff or a logjam and a race to the end, and Scheffler just pulled away. Mark Wilson also is part of the prestigious Ferris State University PGA Golf Management Program. He is standing by before he leaves Augusta and the Masters, and had a chance to work that all week long. How you doing, Mark?
Bill, I'm doing great. It was a wonderful week here in Augusta. It certainly was another great Masters tournament, and you're right. It looked like it might be tight, and then Scotty really did run away with it.
Well, what makes Masters so special for somebody that's never been there, let alone most have never refereed a Masters tournament like yourself? But well, what makes the place so special and in such high demand?
Well, one of the things that Augusta National tries to do, and this is really in the tradition of the founders, Bobby Jones, really the greatest amateur golfer of all time, and Clifford Roberts, who founded the Augusta National Golf Club together in the 1930s. And they really always wanted to set a standard that really was the highest standard you could set for hospitality, for quality of the golf course, for a competition. Just every detail they take care of. And believe it or not, they strive to always make it better. Every year they try to make something better. And so I think that's one of the reasons why it's so much fun for patrons and spectators to go to the Masters. And plus, there's a lot of history here, tremendous amount of history, again, sort of settle around the great amateur Bobby Jones, but then the winners over the years, you know, really all the major names in golf pretty much have been Masters champions, and it's certainly been a great distinction to win the Masters tournament. And it's just a special place, and certainly as a spectator sporting event, I think you could probably say that there may not be any tougher ticket in sports than a ticket to the Masters tournament.
And Scheffler, really start to finish, was in control. You see why he's the best in golf in the world right now. That course ate up big-name pros, especially Tiger, the final 36, but he didn't stand alone on that leaderboard with big numbers like 78s, 80s. Scheffler's play at minus 11 to win his second green jacket versus the field and a big portion of it getting tore up by the wind and the lengthening of the course. Why was Scheffler so dominant?
Well, he really did put together just a tremendous final round Sunday. When you think about it, especially starting out, you think about that birdie stretch at 8, 9, 10. Then he did bogey 11, but he even hit a good approach shot down in front where you're supposed to safely and just hit a little too far past. Made a safe shot on 12 when others maybe had trouble, like Max Homa, for example. Then a beautiful routine birdie on 13, played safely to the left. Another nice birdie on 14. 15 was the only hole that surprised me that he'd go for it in two. But with only about a 4-iron in his hand, I guess, you know, I guess why not? And so his play was just so solid. He avoided making mistakes. And if you think about it, the lead after round one was minus 7. And really only two players, obviously, ended up on Sunday at minus 7. And that's Scheffler at minus 11. And this Ludwig Åberg, who is just outstanding. This is only his first major. And he played in the Ryder Cup, as some of your listeners remember, last fall. But the weather, as you mentioned, was a big factor this week. The wind, especially on Friday, was a little softer on Thursday after the rain, but once Friday started with the big winds, and they really continued on Saturday, made the conditions very difficult. This Masters probably wasn't as hard as the year Trevor Immelman won. It was colder and very windy that week also. But this certainly ranks up there in terms of difficult Masters tournaments. And as you say, number one in the world just prevailed. And that stretch, again, starting at 8 and continuing all the way to the nice par at 18, and he almost birdied 17, was just historic.
It was. It was dominant. And again, why Scheffler, well, now with two green jackets, is right there with the best to ever play the game, and there's still a lot of golf years ahead for him. Mark Wilson refereed the Masters. He's based out of Grand Rapids, part of the prestigious Ferris State University PGA Golf Management Program, one of our PGA and LPGA Tour insiders. What a week it was for him at Augusta. Hey, safe travels back, my man, and we'll talk golf soon.
Thanks, Bill. It was a pleasure this week, and have a great day. Thanks.
Yeah, back at you. And just a good guy, man, on and off the course. Anyone who knows Mark Wilson, you know what I'm talking about. Superfly Hayes is our executive producer as we're set to wrap up hour number one on this Motor City Monday. Make sure you text Tigers to 21,000 if you want to get in on the weekly drawings for Tigers tickets that could be texted to you courtesy of the Michigan Sports Network. Just text Tigers one time to 21,000 before the end of May, and you'll be in every weekly drawing. And if you want to buy Tigers tickets for select games in April and May and save 15% off each ticket, go to tigers.com/huge show. That's tigers.com/huge show.
Big, bad, huge.